The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Sanhedrin, this Masechet has been sponsored anonymously. Nirfu'ah Shinema Dina Bat Sara. Enna Rifanada, Enna Rifanada, Enna Rifanada, Rifuata Nefesh, Rifuata Guf, Rifuata, Romana Bovechin Yirason, Renomar Amen. Daf Pe Zayin. Today's Daf is being studied in the Nishmat Abraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tani Heaven Began Eden Amen. Today's Daf is being studied in the Fuat Shinema Dina Bat Sara. We begin today's daf on Pei Vav Amud Bet, and we're starting from the Mishnah. Zaken Mamre Al Pi Bet Din. This is talking about another person that's Hayav Henik. That's a Zaken Mamre. That's a rebellious Zaken, Tamid Hacham, that rebels against the ruling of Bet Din. Bet Din says Mutar, and he goes Asur, or vice versa, whatever it may be. And therefore, since he ruled against the Sanhedrin, he's Hayav Henik. Shneimar ki yipalim emechad avar lamishpat. They're learning from that pasuk. So the Gemara's Mishnah is doing this. Shelosha batei din hayusham. There was three batei dinim that used to be in Yerushalayim. Okay? Echad yoshev al petach harabayit. One was at the entrance of Harabayit. Echad yoshev al petach azara. One was a little more closer, in the head of front of the Azara. Ve'had yoshev b'lishkat ha-gazit. And one was actually on the Temple Mount in the Shkat ha-gazit, in the special offices. That was considered the Sanhedrin. She says, Shehu binuya betoch ha-azara. The Sanhedrin actually sat in the Azara itself. Hatsiya ba-kodesh ve-hatsiya ba-chol. Half of the offices were in the Kodesh, and half of it was in the Chol. Ba'in lazeh she'al petach ha-rabayit. Now, what the case is talking about, well, let's say the guy locally went against his own Bet Din, claiming that what? That he's right. So what do? They go to the first Bet Din in Yerushalayim and they say, who's right? Judge the case. Ve'omer, kach darashti, ve'kach darashu haverai. He says, listen, this is what I said, this is what my friends said, my colleagues. Kach limati, ve'kach limdu haverai. This is what I taught, this is what they taught. Who's right? Im sham'u amar lahem. If they have a ruling themselves, they say, "V'im lav ba'in lahen le'otan sh'al petach azarah." Now they all go to the next bet din, the higher court, which is the petach of the azarah. They review the whole story again. V'omer kach darashti v'kach darshu haverai, kach limati v'kach limdu haverai. This is what I said. This is what they said. This is what I taught. That's what they taught. Im shamu, if they have an understanding, if they have a psak halacha, who's right? Amar lehem v'im lav elu ve'elu ba'im lebet din hagadol shemashkat hagazit. And they go to the top court, the Supreme Court, the Sanhedrin, to see who's right. Shememenu yotze Torah lechol Yisrael. From the Sanhedrin, that's where all the Torah and the ruling come to Mishnah Shneimar. Min ha'makom ahu asher yivchar Hashem. From that place that God chooses, that's where the rulings come out. Hazal, you know, now Bet Din gives him a ruling, let's say. Okay, they tell him you're wrong. Now he's got a psak alakha from the Sanhedrin. Hazar, you know, the guy goes back to Zaken, back to the city. Shana v'limed b'derek sheya lamed. And he's continuing teaching the way he taught before. He's continuing teaching the teachings against the Sanhedrin. Patur. He's patur from death, because he's only teaching. However, v'im hora la'asot haya. But if he gave a halachic ruling, gave a psak, that's a psak against the Sanhedrin, then indeed it's going to be Rav Shnei Amar. Ve'ish Hashem ya'aseh bezadon. Meaning he has to actually teach to act. Enu chayav ad shiyoreh la'asot. He's only chayav, and instead of he's teaching, theoretically, no problem. But if he teaches, alakha lema'aseh, he's chayav talmud, talmid, shehora la'asot patur. Now, talmid, shehora la'asot. Talmid is somebody that's less than 40 years old. Less than 40 years old, you didn't get to the level of hora'a yet. So therefore, if you're less than 40 years old, that made a ruling against the Sanhedrin, is patur. Nimsa, humro kulo. The humra is the kula. Which if you're being mahmir, that a less than a 40-year-old person, you're not ra'uy lehora'a. That humra comes out to be a kula. Since he's not ra'uy lehora'a, he'll be patur if he becomes a zaken mamre. Because the only time you hayav to be a zaken mamre is if you are ra'uy lehora'a. Ra'uy tiki psakim. So what's the age? 40. So therefore we're being mahmir. Oh, you're 39 years old? You cannot say psak halakhan. So that humra that we don't allow you to be a moreh is a kula. Because now when it comes to Zaken Mamre, you're not going to be a Mure Halakha if you're going to be Patur. Tanu Rabbanan. So now we discuss over here in the Braita, the Pasuk that talks about Zaken Mamre, we're going to be Doresh every single word of the Pasuk. Tanu Rabbanan, Ki Yipalem, Mecha Adavar. Okay? That's in the parasha of Zaken Mamre. Bamufle She Bedin Hakatuv Medaber. Which means, this is talking about over here, that he went against Mufle She Bedin. He went against the Chief Justice. As opposed to, let's say, Zaken Mamre went against somebody that's a Talmid or something, that's not, reach a Hura'a. He's got to be going against the Mufle. The biggest of the judges, as she says, "Mubhail bedin ma'utet talmid." Okay. So comes the Gemara and says, "Bemuflesh betin ektum medaber." Memecha at ki yifle. Get the whole pasuk in your mind. It says, "Ki yifle memecha." Memecha ze yoetz. This is talking about where he went against the rabbi that is an expert in knowing the calendar. That's the Eibur Shana. Eibur Shana is referred to as an Etzah. V'chein hu omer, memecha yetzeh choshev al Hashem ra'a yu'etz b'liyal. Okay, when the Gemara is going to give us examples of each case, how we went against Psak Halakha regarding the calendar, Davar zu Halakha. That's referring to Halakha, meaning he went against Halakha al-Moshe Mesinai. Lamishpat zeh hadin. Okay, that's referring to a law that was derived through a Gezerah Shavah. Deen is Gezerah Shavah. He went against the Deen. A law that's derived by Gezerah Shavah. Ben Dam Le Dam. Ben Dam Nida. Le Dam Le Da. Dam Ziva. He gave rulings against the Sanhedrin regarding Dam Nida, Dam Ziva, which we'll see what that means, and Dam Le Da, which are all different types of blood. Ben Din Le Deen. Ben Din Nefashot. Dine Mamonot. Dine Makot. He gave rulings against the Sanhedrin regarding those three types of dinim: capital punishment, monetary, and makot. Benega lenega. Benega lenega. Benigai adam, nigai batim, nigai begadim. All the different types of nigaim. Whether it's on the person, whether it's on the his clothes, or whether it's on the walls. Divre, continuing the pasuk, the word says divre. Elu haramim va'irchin va'kdeshot. These are things that a person makes verbally. He makes something hegdesh, or he says, "Erchi alai, my value was to the Beit HaMikdash." He went against a psak halakha regarding divre, things of consecration. Ribot, fights, zu hashka'at sota. This is referring to the drinking of the sota, va'arifat aglan, agla arufa, when they decapitate the egel, when there's a dead body between two cities. So he went against the psak halakha regarding those laws over there. V'taharat mitzora, and the purification of a mitzora. Bish'arecha, that's referring to the gifts that we have to give to the Aniim, the entitlements that we give to the Aniim. We leave them in the fields. The reason why that's learned from the Pasuk of Bish'arecha is because it says in the Pasuk, Ve'achilu Bish'arecha. That's by the Aniim. So therefore Bish'arecha is referring to Leket Shekha and Pia. Ve'kamta, oh, you have to rise. Meaning, if you set a psak halakha regarding these halakhot over here, vekamta mebedin, you have to go from your local bedin in your town, ve'alita, and you have to go to Jerusalem. It says ve'alita, melamed shebet hamikdash kavua ve'eretz Yisrael, because it says no matter where you are, ve'alita, so you have to go up. So if we learn from there that word ve'alita, you'll go up that bet hamikdash is higher. Ve'eretz Yisrael, the writer just concludes and says, stam. The Eretz Yisrael gavoa mekol ha'aratzot. And Eretz Yisrael is higher than all of the other lands. Okay, that's not proving it from a pasuk yet, but it's just saying that Eretz Yisrael is the highest from all the lands. And I don't know if it means from all the lands, really. I'm sure there's higher lands. It must be from the lands that are around it. The surrounding lands, Eretz Yisrael is higher than it. Elam makom, it says you have to go to the place where the Sanhedrin are. Milamed sham makom gorim. Meaning they have to be sitting in their place. The Sanhedrin, if he catches them, let's say, outside of their place, and he rebels against them, it's not considered Zaken Mamre, in a makom. Only when you rebel against them when they are in their location. Okay? So the Gemara says, side point now. Bishlama Beit HaMikdash kavua me'eretz Yisrael. I understand that Beit HaMikdash is higher than Eretz Yisrael. Dichti ve'alita. Because it says, no matter where you are in Eretz Yisrael, you will go up. So that means the Beit HaMikdash must be the highest place because it's always going up. Ve'alita. Ela Eretz Yisrael gavah mikol ha'aretz min ha'aleh. How do you know Eretz Yisrael is higher than all of the other cities or lands? Dichtiv. Lachen hine yamim ba'im nimashim. This is talking about over here a prophecy in the future. Prophet Yirmiyah. Hay Hashem Hashem le'alat b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. The God that took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. Kiim Hay Hashem Asher Eilav Asher Emid Zera Beit Israel Meretz Safona. God is going to bring the Jewish people from Eretz Safona, from Bavel, Umikol Alasot, from all the lands Asher Dachtim Sham V'Yashvu Alad Matam, and they're going to sit on their land. And what does it say? Asher Eilav, that God is going to bring up everybody from the exile to Eretz Israel. That means all the lands of the exile must be lower than Eretz Israel. So that's how you know that Eretz Israel is Gavoa Mikol Alasot, because it's Asher Eilav. That no matter where the Jewish people are going to be in the exile, God is going to elevate them back to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so that's basically the Braita. That's one big Braita that talks about all the different examples where a Zaken Memre can go against the Sanhedrin. Okay, now the Gemara is going to go through each one and show us practical examples to these cases. Gemara continues. Tanu Rabbanan. Zaken Memre. Enu hayav ela al davar shezodano karet v'shigo hatat. Oh, zaken mamre is only hayav on a type of ruling that the punishment if you would do it b'shogeg is korban hatat, and if you did it b'mezid is hayav karet. Devrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Omer al davar sheikaro medevrei Torah upirusho medevrei Sofrim. Rabbi Yehuda argues doesn't have to be an item that's shigigoto hatat v'zedano karet. It's even on an item, so long as it's the root is from the Torah, ikarom in the Torah, its source is from the Torah, and the hachamim would doresh it. Which means certain things from the Torah, you need the rabbis to come and explain it. So when is it been so? When is it been? When is it kim mamre hayav? On something that's a root from the Torah, and it was explained through the eyes of the hachamim. That's the second interpretation. Rabbi Shimon Omer, afilu dikduke had me dikduke sofrim. Rabbi Shimon says no. Even if the whole thing is medevrei sofrim, which means even if the hakamim used one of the 13 midot shatorah nedreshet bahem in order to bring a law to light, so still you're going to be hayav. Right, so that's the third opinion, because you have three opinions again. First opinion is zedoro karet shigigol hatat. Second opinion, davar sheikarom in the Torah, meaning it's beferush written in the Torah, and the hachamim came along with the dirashot to explain it. And the third opinion is, even if it's not explicitly written in the Torah, which means the hachamim would doresh it in one of the shloshes midot shetorah nedresh bahem, and he went against that, that's considered zakeh mamre. Okay, now we gotta go explain all three opinions. My tamad Rabbi Meir. How does Rabbi Meir know that Zakeh Mamre is only on Shigigo Hatat and Zeno Karet? Gemar Davar Davar. He has a Gezerah Shiva, Davar Davar. Ketivach, it says by Zakeh Mamre, Ki Yipale Memecha Davar the Mishpat. Uchtivahatam. Another pasuk is talking about when the Sanhedrin made a mistake. Sanhedrin made a mistake, and all the Jewish people followed the mistake of the Sanhedrin, so they have to bring a pare alim davar shel sibur. In that pasuk of the Sanhedrin making the mistake, the pasuk says, "V'ne'alam davar me'aneh kahal." And what type of mistake does the Sanhedrin have to make in order to bring a korban? Just like over here, it's a mistake in the karet level. Afkad, so too by zakeh mamre. So the first shita learns it from a gizras shavat davar davar. The Rabbi Yehuda al pi haTorah asher yurucha. Rabbi Yehuda says by the pasuk of Zakeh Mamre, it says he went against the Torah asher yurucha. Now Torah is something that's written explicitly. Torah asher yurucha is the rabbis. So he learns from those two words. It's got to be a piece of Torah that's written explicitly that was nidrash by the hakamim. Adiika Torah. The Yerucha. It's got to be a piece of Torah that's explicitly that has the Rash of Chazal on it. We should Asher Yagidu Lecha min haMakom Ahu Afilu Kol Dehu. Whatever they say on that place, Asher Yagidu Lecha, no matter what, even if it's not written explicitly in the Torah, even if the whole derash is from a derash of the 13 ways we doresh Torah, even though it's not written explicitly, still the Mishnah will hold you're going to be a Zaken. Okay. Now we get to the sugya of the day. So all that is information is good. We just learned the Blaita. The Blaita gave us, I don't know, 10 different examples of how he can become a Zaken Mamre. He went against the calendar, he went against the different bloods, he went against the different sara'ats, he went against different monetary laws. Bottom line, according to the opinion that says that you only chayav when you go against a ruling that can bring you to a karet, we're going to have to go back to that Braita now and explain how every single case that we discussed can lead to a karet. Because if the cases cannot lead to a karet, so they're not going to be considered a zaken mamre. So now, again, the skeleton of the next Gemara is it reviews the Braita that we just brought in the beginning of the daf, and it's going to go to each case showing you how each case can lead to a situation of karet. Amar de Ravuna bar Hanina de Rava. Ravuna bar Hanina told Rava. Targemali leha matnita alibad Rabbi Meir. Please explain me the Braita according to Rabbi Meir. The Braita that we just brought down, explain it to me according to Rabbi Meir that all these cases will have a situation of karet. Amar de Rava Papa puk targemali. So Rava told the Papa, you go explain it to him. Go explain it to him. Give him the pshat. Oh, ki yipale. Again, we go back. Ki yipale b'mufle shebebeti nekatum b'daber. Okay. It's talking about when you went against the head of the beti. It's not, you didn't go against a talmid. That's giving you that's not telling you what you did. It's telling you who you went against. You have to go against the mufle shebebeti. Memecha, you went against one of the memecha ze yu'etz. Okay, what do we say the yu'etz is? You went against a ruling regarding leap years. Now, how could going against a Sanhedrin's ruling regarding leap years bring to a karet? Very good. Pesach. Kiditnan. Because we have a Mishnah. There's a big machloket. Until when are you allowed to start making leap years? One shita says you can make the leap year the entire Adar. So long as you're still in Adar, even if you're the 29th day of Adar, the last day of Adar, the rabbis decide to make a leap year, no problem. Shehayu omrim, because there were some rabbis that held what? Ad Purim. He said, no, you can only make a leap year until Purim. Once Purim comes, no more leap years. What's the reason according to that opinion? Because that opinion said once Purim comes, the people start talking about Pesach. And therefore, automatically, people are programmed. Once Purim comes, they count 30 days, and they start fulfilling Pesach. If you're going to make a leap year, the people are not going to realize what's going to happen. They're going to do Pesach in Adar Sheni, and then when the real Pesach comes, they're going to end up eating Pesach, Hametz. You mean Hametz or Pesach? So therefore, those rabbis held, once Purim comes, there's no more room for leap year. And anyway, it was a machloket. How long could you make a leap year? Now, let's say the Sanhedrin rules like one of these opinions. No matter which shita the Sanhedrin rules like, if this Zaken Mamre rules the other way, he's going to bring the people to Isur Karet by eating Hametz on Pesach. The Gemara says, "Di ilahai gisa kashari Hametz on Pesach, di ilahai gisa kashari Hametz on Pesach." Take one example. Let's say the Sanhedrin rules, you can't make Ibur Shana after Purim. Okay? And this guy says, you can. So then what's going to happen? The first Pesach is going to come, the people, it's not going to be Pesach. 30 days later, they're going to be eating Pesach. And then 60 days later, they're going to not know that a leap year was made, because this guy ruled against the Sanhedrin's ruling, and they're going to eat Hametz on that Pesach. Which is, no matter what the Sanhedrin rules, if he rules the opposite, he's going to end up causing the people to eat Hametz on Pesach. If let's say Sanhedrin rules that you're allowed to make the Ibur year, the whole Adar, and he rules not like that, so therefore they're going to make a leap year, and the Pesach is going to be a month later. He's going to say you're not allowed, therefore the Pesach is going to be earlier, and therefore they're going to be eating Hametz on the real Pesach, regardless of whatever he rules against. So you see, by going against a leap year ruling, you can come to the Yisud of Karet. Continue. דבר זה הלכה. זו הלכות אחד עשר. This is referring to the law of 11. The Itmar. Asiri, Rabbi Yohanan Amar Asiri Ketashi'i, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Amar Asiri Kehad Asar. Oh, this is talking about now the laws of Zav. You need a thorough Hagdama in order to understand this piece over here of Zav. Lady sees blood. She's Nida. She's Tamea for 7 days. After 7 days, even if she saw blood on the seventh day, and then she stops from the Torah, she goes to the mikveh, she is no longer Nida. In the next 11 days after the Nida, whatever secretions come out of the lady, it's not Dam Nida. It's called Dam Ziva. And it depends how she sees during those 11 days. So it's always a cycle of 7 and 11. If she sees one day, so then she's what's called Shomeret Yom Kineged Yom. If she sees one day, she has to keep one day B'tahara, and she goes to the Negveh the following day. If let's say she sees 2 days, still she just has to keep one day B'tahara. But if she sees 3 days, she has a flow for 3 days, that's called Zava Gedola. Therefore, she has to keep Zayin Nikiyim. Not only 7 days, 7 clean days. You see, by Nida, the Torah does not require 7 clean days. The Torah just requires you wait 7 days. As I told you, even if she saw blood on the seventh day of Anida, so long as she's able to stop on the seventh day, she's got to go to the mikveh that night, no problem. When do you need 7 clean days? When she sees in the 11 days after the Nida, 3 days straight, she has a flow, so then she's called Zavah Gedolah, therefore she needs what's called Zayin Nikiyin. Incidentally, today that the ladies keep Zayin Nikiyin is because we don't know what days they're seeing it. We lost track already. We don't know if it's in the 7 days, if it's in the 11 days. So we suspect that every drop, even a drop of blood like a mustard seed, we assume that it's Zavah Gedolah. We assume that maybe it's the third sea. What do you mean the third sea? Where was the other two? Who knows? Maybe it got lost up there somewhere and we missed it. And we assume that maybe it was during the 11 days of Zava. And therefore, that's why every Nida today cannot become pure for her husband until she sits Zayin Nikiyim. Because we put the biggest stringency that's possible, that maybe she's in a scenario of 11, maybe it was the third sea, and therefore, right away we throw the book, the Chumrah. בנות ישראל החמינו על עצמן שאפילו רואות דם כטיפת חרדל יושבות עליה זיין נקיים. In any event, there's another law that we have to analyze over here. The law is like this. הלכה למשה בסיני. Oh, here's what we need to know. If let's say she sees blood on the 11th day of the Ziva, day 11. Now mind you, day 12 already, she's out of the Zavah days. Now we said if she sees on day 11, she has to wait a day, meaning she would normally have to wait day 12. She made it Yom Kineged Yom. She saw one day, she has to wait day 12 and then go to Mikveh the 12th at night. But since by the 12th at night, it's already out of the Zavah days, if she sees on day 11, she can go to the Mikveh on the night of the 11th, which means that night. She's on Tuesday, which is day 11. Tuesday, let her go to the mikveh, and she's finished. Which means we cut the shiur. Okay, that's halakha b'shem Sinai. Again, she imra'ata dam b'yom ha-11 shel yemei ziva ena sirikal l'shmur yom tahara l'machorato. She doesn't have to wait the next day b'tahara because that's not the days of ziva anymore. That's day 13. That's day 12. Ela hi zava ketana b'yom shira'ata b'levad u'balayla tovelet u'mutelet l'ba'la. Any other blood that she sees subsequently, she goes back to Nida again. She sees the blood now on day 12, starts the Nida cycle again. What's the Nida cycle? 7 days. But she doesn't have to be Zayin Nikiyim. She has to count 7 and she goes back. That's how the cycle goes on and on. V'imrata dam b'yom asiri u'b'yom ahadasar. Oh. Let's say she saw blood on day 10 and day 11. Okay, doesn't matter. It's still 2 days. So 2 days, we say, what? You only have to watch 1 day. So therefore, shemenim nechleku aposkim bedina. That's a post. That's a machloka which doesn't matter actually. Umnami, atad dam betishi'i ubaasiri ubahad asar. Oh, let's say she saw on 9, 10, and 11. Now that makes her a zava gedola. ודאי שאסורה ביום 12 שרסי זווה גדולה. That's only 7 days בטהרה. So, there's no argument on 9, 10, 11. She became zavah gadola already. She is officially zavah gadola. You need to have 7 clean days. But we're not talking about that case over there. We're talking about a case over here now in the Gemara where she saw on the 11th day the itmar. Actually, she saw on the 10th day. Read the Gemara now. The itmar. 1, 2, 3, 4 lines at the bottom. The itmar asini. Let's say she saw on the 10th day the Yohanan amar asini ketashi'i. The 10th day is like the 9th day. V'Rabbi Shimon ben Akish amar asini ke'ahad asar. Okay, what does this mean? 10 is like 9 or 10 is like 11? Very simple. If you say 10 is like 9, if she sees on the 9th day, she has to keep the whole 10th day. She has to keep the whole 10th day, she doesn't go to the mikveh on the 10th at night. So too, she's on the 10th day then. 10th day, she has to wait the whole 11th day, and she doesn't go to the 11th day at night. But some shito say, so no, 10 is like 11. Halakha Moshe Mishinai. 10 is like 11 in the sense of like, just like when she's on 11, she just goes to the mikveh immediately that night. So too, if she's on 10, she goes to the mikveh immediately on that night. Hadush, why? Kaka, Halakha Moshe Mishinai. Now, by the way, let's get the sources for this first. Just like if she's on the 9th day, she needs shimur, meaning she has to keep the whole following day, and she's going to mikveh at night. So if she's on the 10th, she has to keep the whole 11th day, she's going to mikveh until the following night. She says, no, 10 is like 11. Just like on 11, she goes to mikveh immediately at night without waiting a full day. Good. How could this come to Isur Karet? Very simple. If a lady goes with her husband when she is Zava, that is Isur Karet. So let's say the Sanhedrin made a ruling. The Sanhedrin came along and said that she sees on the 10th day. 10th day is like the 9th day. And therefore, she's got to wait the whole 11th and she doesn't go to the mikveh till the 11th at night. And this Zakim Memre came along and said, nah, the 10th is like the 11th. She saw on the 10th, let her go to the mikveh that night. According to the Sanhedrin, she's still Zav. She's still Zavah. And therefore, she's going to go with her husband. That's already Isur Karet. So that's a case where the Zakim Memre ruled against the ruling of the Sanhedrin, the Gabez Zav, that can bring her to Isur Karet. Good? Okay, go to the next one. Mishpat Zadin. Okay, what din are we talking about over here? This is talking about something that was learned through a Gezerah Shavah. We learned this many times. Certain arayot, specifically bitom me'anusato. Torah clearly says a person cannot go with his daughter. And we know that already. How do we know that he'll say it was his daughter, but from a girl that he raped? It's not from a girl that he married, a girl that he raped. Bitum anusato. That's not written Bifurush in the Torah, by the way. The only way we know Bitum anusato, we have Gezerah Shavah. We have a Gezerah Shavah, which is Henna, Henna, Zima, Zima. That's a whole long type of Gezerah Shavah. But basically, from that Gezerah Shavah, we learn Bitum anusato. The rabbis of the Sanhedrin, let's say, made a Psak Halacha. Bitum anusato, Asura, Henna, Henna, Zima, Zima. This Zaken Mamre comes along and says, I don't go with that Gezerah Shavah. So what is he really being matir? He's being matir something that the Sanhedrin holds as Hayav. Karet. So that's a case of going against the Gezerah Shavah that can lead to a Karet. Read that inside. Mito Marusato. The Amar Ava. Amma Nerebi Tzhak Bar Abudimi. Atya Hedna Hedna. Atya Zima Zima. Good. Next one. Bedam ledam. How can a case of blood going against the Sanhedrin lead to a case of karet? Very easy. Bedam nida ledam leda. Dam ziba. Okay. There's three types of blood. There's dam nida. There's dam ziba. And there's dam leda. All these three types of bloods, if the Zakim Amre goes against the ruling of the Sanhedrin, can lead to a case of karet. How? Dam nida, miflukta, Akavya min Mahalil the Rabbanan. The famous argument between Akavya and the rabbis. Nitnan. Dama Yarok. Okay, green blood. The blood comes out, it's green. Is it blood or not blood? Akavya min Mahalil mitameh. He says that's blood. Bachamim mitaharim. Very good. So let's say the Sanhedrin ruled like Akavya bin Mahalalel. Right? So lady comes to the Sanhedrin and they rule Dam Yarok is Asur, Tameh. This guy is a Kim Amrit comes along and says Dam Yarok, Tahor. And therefore he allows a lady to go with her husband after she saw Dam Yarok. Where the Sanhedrin holds that is considered Isur, Karet. It's a case of Dam where the Shematiring Karet. Very simple. Look at that she, by the way. Hayarok, top line that she. Hayarok, Akavim Mehalalel Metame, Dam Yarok, Ami Dam Rida. If let's say the Zakim Amre rules like Akavya Mehalalel, Mighty Lal the Hayuf Karet. Now she gives the reverse scenario. So I read it. Now she's telling you, reverse. If he rules like Akavya Mehalalel, he'll bring her to Karet. Why will he bring her to Karet? If he says it's Tameh, they're going to abstain. So she says, Shepa'amim Shiru'e Dama Yeruk Betchilat Nidata. Sometimes she sees green blood in the beginning of the nida. Ulbesof bet yamin ro'ed dam adom. And at the last, at the end of the cycle, she sees red. Uposeket v'im matchilat limnot shivat yamin mir'iyat dam yarok. If you hold dam yarok is nida, when do you have to count the 7 days from the beginning of the nida? Sunday she sees Dam Yarok. This rabbi rules, Dam Yarok, Akavya bin Mahalalel, Tamenida. So she starts counting Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday she saw red blood. Doesn't matter. He says you started your Nida on Sunday. Count. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, go to the mikveh. Even though really she was not Nida on Sunday. She has to count the 7 days from when she saw the red blood. So therefore he's going to cause her to go to the mikveh early. And therefore, since she saw red blood, 5 days later, she's still nida. So that's a case where the Hakamim and Sanhedrin ruled like the rabbi that Dam Yarok is Tahor. By saying Dam Yarok, still you don't start the count of nida when she sees Dam Yarok. But according to Akavya, Dam Yarok start the count. He ruled like Akavya. And therefore she's going to start to count the nida early, meaning the 7 days, and she's going to end up going to the mikveh early when she's still in Idah. She can be with her husband when she's Isur Karet. Good? Continue. Why does she say like that? Because it makes more sense to say like that. Because the Sanhedrin is going to rule like the majority opinion. The Banan say Dam Yarok is Tahor. He rules like the single opinion of Akavya bin Mahalalel. Okay, Dam Leda. Oh, this is a interesting case as well. Dam Leda. Mifluktad de Rav Velevi. This is according to the Mahlok of Rav Velevi. De Itmar. Rav Amar Ma'ayane Hadhu. Atorat Ma'ato Vatorat Harto. Velevi Amar Shtem Ma'ayanotem. Nistam Atame Niftach Atahor. Nistam Atahor Niftach Hatame. Okay, we learned this already many times. Lady gives birth. She has a boy. What does it say? Vetamea Shabbat Yamim. 7 days she is Tamea. And then what? Then for the next 33 days, whatever blood that comes out of her is called Dam Tohar. Even though it's blood, it looks the same like the regular blood. Torah gives a hawk, the blood that comes after she goes to the mikveh, meaning she sees pregnancy, boy. 7 days, Vetamea Shiva'at Shemim. Kimeni dad devotat etmar. Like a nida. She's 7 days. She goes to the mikveh. Then already for the next 33 days, whatever blood that comes out of her is Dam Tohar. Hadush. So Machloket, and the anatomy over here, how does blood's working over here? One Shita says, Ma'ayan Echadyesh. It's the same spout. The same spout that was spitting out the blood of the 7 days is the same spout that's spitting out the blood of the 33 days. Ilawat. It's the time that makes the difference. Once the 7 days are over, whatever comes out of that spout, now it's tahor. It's a time issue. Another shita says, no, there's two spouts. After the 7 days, this spout closes, and the other spout opens up, and spits out dam tohar. After the 33 days, this spout closes. Now this spout opens up. Now she becomes again a nida. After the 33 days, goes back to the old one. The stam and the ftah. That's the machloket of it. How it works. Now, is there a nafka mina between these two opinions? There's nafka mina. Like if it's two spouts, one spout, everybody agrees it's 7 and 33. No, there will be a nafka mina. A nafka mina will be is, let's say, she keeps on seeing throughout the 7 days into the 33 days without stopping. Mm-hmm. It's a continuous flow. According to the first opinion, it says that it's one spout. I don't care if it's a continuous flow. Once the time changes from 7 to day 8, now it's considered dam tohar. But according to the opinion that says this spout closes and the other spout opens up, if she had a continuous flow from day 7 into day 8, so the first spout never closed. So therefore, she'll still be considered teme'ah, or the reverse. If let's say she's in dam tohar, and the spout keeps on going from day 33, from day 8 to day 40 to day 41, it's continuing to spout out and then stop. So therefore, she'll be tehora still on day 41. Because the only time the second spout goes on is when the first spout closes. Whereas according to the other opinion, no, it's the same spout. Once it's all on the time. 7 days, teme'ah. 40 days, tehora. 41st day, teme'ah. Just follow the clock. So that would be the mahalak between Rav and Levi. How does that manifest to Isur Karet in the opinions over here? So look at Rashi. Levi Amar. Actually, look at Rashi. He started from Ma'yan Hadu. See Rashi? All the way on top. Ma'yan Hadu. Dam haba b'shvu'ayim shel nekeva. Okay, he's giving a case where she gave birth to a girl. A girl is the same thing. It's 2 weeks teme'ah, and then 66 days tehora.
Shutameh v'dam haba l'achal shvu'ayim shut tehor b'ma'yan echadu. Atulat teme'ato ko shvu'ayim v'atulat tiyarto l'achal shvu'ayim v'achozer teme'ato l'achal shekalu yimei toha.
First opinion says one spout. 2 weeks, no good. 66 days, yeah, good. After 66 days, no good again. Simple. Time, it's clock.
Next Rashi. V'levi amar, bet ma'ayanotem. Nistam atameh l'achar shivu'ayim.
One spout closes after 2 weeks, v'neftach atahor. Then the 66 day one opens up.
U'shenistam atahor after 66 days, besof yemetu ha'neftach atameh. V'amirim ha'masechet nida, ma'i benayu.
The Gemara asks ha'masechet nida. What's the nafka mina between these two reasons? Either way, everybody agrees to the same halachot.
No, be shofaat mitoch shivu'ayim le'achar shivu'ayim.
She has one continuous flow from before the 2 weeks into the zone of after the 2 weeks,
or the opposite, or mitoch shimonim le'achar shimonim,
or within the dam tohar days into the out of dam tohar days.
Le'rav. אף הפי שלא פסק מעיינה בתוך שבועיים ויוצא דם לאחר שבועיים ממנה טהור.
According to Rav, I don't care. Let the flow continue. It all goes according to the clock. 2 weeks are over, that blood magically turns into דם טהור. 66 days are over, that blood magically turns into נידה. It doesn't matter whether she stopped or not.
ולנבי תמה עד שתפסוק שעה.
She has to stop for a sha'a, whatever that means, an hour or 20 minutes, whatever sha'a means, for a moment. You have to establish this one closed and the other one opened. Here's the key. She's flowing from 80, 66 days after the 14 days, yeah? Dam tohar. Day 80, she has a continuous flow into day 81. According to Rav, she's teme'ah now. Because once you get to day 81, she goes back to becoming a nida. Dam tohar only lasts for 66 days. Correct? She flowed 80, 81. Rav says, stop the clock, doesn't matter. Teme'ah. But according to Nevi, since she didn't stop, she's still going to be considered tehora. Hey, have a karet case now. Let's say the rabbis were posek like Rav, and therefore she's tamenida. This second mamre was posek like Levi, and therefore since there was a continuous flow, he's going to be considered her dam tohar. She's going to go with her husband. According to Rav, there's isur karet over here. According to Levino, so he made a ruling legabe dam leda that can lead to a karet. He was posek like Levi against the Achamim, or posek like Rav, and therefore, in a case where she continuously flowed from day 80 into day 81, then you're going to have the discrepancy. Continue. Next case. Okay, next case. We have to do a few more. Dam ziva. Okay, dam ziva. How do you have a machlok in karet and dam ziva? Befutad Rabbi Ezra Rabbi Yoshua. Netnan. Kisheta shelosha yamim betoch ahad asar yom. Okay. You have a lady that's in her 11 days. That's the zavut days. She happens to be pregnant, by the way. She's pregnant. She had labor pains for 3 days. Kishita, meaning the labor pains are working on her for 3 days. Kishita shlosha yamim betoch ahad asar yom. In the 11 days where she become a zava. Im shafta me'et le'et. If let's say for a 24-hour period the labor pains subsided, viyalda, and then she gave birth, harezu yoledet bezov, devre Rabbi Eliezer. It's considered that she gave birth as a zava gedola. Again, in labor pain she bleeds. She has a hard labor; blood comes out. Labor pains and that blood doesn't make her a zava, even if she sees in the 11 days. Because we say that's dam leda, that's not dam ziva. Understand? Even though she sees in the 11 days, she's giving birth. That's why she's seeing blood for 3 days. She's having contractions and labor and all that. But let's say she sees for 3 days, because she's having labor, and then the labor subsides for a 24-hour period, and then she gives birth. Then we say that those 3 days over there that she saw blood was not related to the pregnancy, because she had a 24-hour time where it stopped. Therefore, she's considered now a zava. What's nafkamina? When she gives birth anyway, she's tamea. What's the difference? Big difference. Because if she just gives birth regularly, how many days does she have to count? 7. But if she's a zava, she has to count 7 clean days. Big nafkamina, what are you going to consider her? Again, if she just gives birth regularly, she doesn't have to wait 7 clean days. But if you consider her a zava, so then already she's considered to pass away 7 clean days. She's big nafkamina. Oh, and how do we judge it? You ask her, did you see 3 days? Yes, I had labor pains 3 days, blood was coming out. And then when did you give birth? Well, I stopped for 24-hour period, then I gave birth. Oh, you stopped? It's not related. We put you as a zava. Continue. V'Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Laila v'yom kelel Shabbat. Okay, that's already hadush. Rabbi Yoshua holds, yes, it has to be a 24-hour period, but it has to be a 24-hour period starting from the night to the day. Like Shabbat. How does Shabbat start? Shabbat starts from the Shabbat to the day. So he argues on the first opinion. He says it's not just 24 hours, which is, let's say she stops at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. According to the first opinion, she stops at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. If she has 24 hours, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, next day, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that's it. It's a break. He says, no. You don't count from 2 to 6 o'clock p.m. You don't count. You start the clock at 6 p.m. until 6 p.m. the next day. It's got to be Laila Biyomo. Why? Kacha. That's what he holds. So continue. Okay? Now, Sheshafta Minatza'ar Lo Minadam. Now, what's the reason over here? What's the reason why she becomes a dam? She becomes a zava. She shafta min atzar, v'lo min adam, which means once already she had stopping of the pains, so that's not labor anymore. She shafta min atzar. She had stopping of the tzar, v'lo min adam, but the blood is there of dam ziva. That's the logic. Okay, now stop. That's it. Give me a case where this can come to a sukkah net. So let's say the rabbis ruled like the opinion that says the rabbis ruled like the opinion that says 24 hours have to start from Friday night. Okay? 24 hours have to start from Friday night. Like Friday night, I mean. From the night to the day. And he ruled, this is a ken mamre, like the opinion says, no, start the clock immediately. So according to the Zaken Mamre, she stops seeing 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He says, okay, count the 24 hours. 24 hours later, got to 2 o'clock the next day. Okay, so it's considered, she considered Zava. Get the point. When she stops for 24 hours, that's a problem. Okay, so let's say she stopped for 24 hours. Yeah, if she stopped 24 hours, then for sure she's a chumrah. That's a chumrah. We have to give a kula case.
If she gives birth the following day, she's a bagadullah.
She just went 7 days. She just went 7 clean days.
Right, but when it comes to the 33.
Oh, it'll throw off that. Oh, you know what? Let's read the Rashi, how he figures that. And you can figure it out like that as well. You're right. Look at Rashi. That's the last Rashi we have to read. Kashita. You see Kashita? Gimel Yamin betok Ahad Asar Yom. Katu beparashat Zaba. Be'ahad Asar Yom sheben Nida l'Nida. That's the 11 days between Nida l'Nida. Shema Yamin mevim l'de Ziva. V'isha ki yazuv zov dama Yamin rabim. V'tanya perek berot kutim. Dama mahmat atzma. The blood of Zaba has to be from herself. Velo mahmat velad. But not blood that comes because of another reason. For example, birth. Magid shedama kishui. That's dam of labor. She yatsa kodem avalad mahmat sa'ara kishui. And because of labor pains, eno mevi'ali de ziva. That type of pain does not cause dam ziva. Because she can't dam shahara shalahara valad. Certainly, the blood that she gives birth after she gives birth, that's not coming from herself, that's coming because of the labor. Aval, imrata gimel yamim resufim bahem, betok koshi, she had pains, and the blood's coming out. Veshafta kodem yitzerta valad. And then she stopped. Yom echad me'et ne'et she'shakta ve'nacha shakta, she had shaken, it was quiet mitzara ve'alkach yalda ben mitok koshi, and then when she gave birth to a boy ben mitok shofi harezu yoledet bezov, that's considered that she gave birth in zov. Why? Lefi shekevan shelachad gimel shafta, since after 3 days she calmed down. Shafta means she had calm. That must be the 3 days that she saw before was not because of birth. Because she wasn't ready to give birth, because she stopped for 24 hours. Here's the key. As long as she's not going to count 7 clean days, you don't start the Dam Tohar days. In order to get the Dam Tohar, you have to finish with the 7 clean days. I don't care, even if she waited 2 weeks. If she didn't count 7 clean days, she doesn't start. ואחד מלות שמונים שלה צניחה שני קורבנות אחד ללדתה ואחד לזיבתה. Oh, by the way, there's another afkemira, קורבנות. After the 80 days, she has to be a korban for her pregnancy that she gave birth, and she also has to be another korban for the zava that she experienced. Now, Laila ויום, that's the second rabbi. Second rabbi says it's got to be 24 hours, but you start the clock from the night. אבל מעט לעט לא חשיב שופי. 2 o'clock in the afternoon to 2 o'clock in the next day is not considered shofi. That's not considered a... Oh, so that's very good. So if that's not considered a break, so according to that opinion, she is not going to be considered a nida. Azara. Right? 2 o'clock she stopped seeing. She had a break from 2 o'clock in the afternoon to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. According to that opinion, she is not considered a zava. Correct? She's not considered a Zava. Laila Bayom, because he always got to be Laila Bayom. And therefore what? She doesn't have to keep the 7 clean days. And therefore, after 14 days, immediately she starts her Dam Tohar. And therefore she's allowed to be with her husband. So let's say the rabbis ruled like that. Rabbis Salim ruled like that. But this guy came along, and he holds, and therefore what? And continue the process. And therefore she waits 66 days. And 66, by day 80, then she becomes Tamea again, because that's when the Dam Tohar finishes. And Shalom HaSayim, I mean, she's not considered Yoledet Bezov. So she's not considered Yoledet Bezov, follow the program. 14, 66,
and then she becomes tameh again. But if this rabbi, if the zaken mamreh, he's going to posek that what? That she is a yuledet bezof. He's going to hold what? You start the clock from the night. And therefore, this is not considered a break. This is not considered a... considered a break. Which means, she saw from 2 o'clock in the afternoon to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that 12 hours, he's going to consider that a hefsek. And since he considers that a hefsek, therefore she's not yoledet bezov, even though the rabbis hold she is yoledet bezov. And therefore what's going to happen? He's going to allow her to go with her husband during these 66 days, where according to the rabbis, if she didn't wait the 7 clean days, no days are isur karet. So basically, by following one of the opinions, it's going to cause her to go with the husband at a time where she is forbidden. That's exactly the point. Gemara continues. Ben din le din, ben dine mamunot, dine nefashot, dine makot. So we're talking about over here again, zaken mamre. That's a zaken that rebelled against the beddin in something that is hayav karet. So the pasuk said ben din le din. So the Gemara explains what is din le din, whether it's in a monetary, whether it's din in mamonot, din in nefashot, din in makot. So now the Gemara is going to have to explain how mamonot, nefashot, or makot all can lead to a case of karet, where the zaken mamre would be hayav for making a ruling against the beddin. So beddin mamonot befluta deshmuel v'rabbi abahu damar shmuel shnayim shedanu. We learned this already. According to Shmuel, two judges that judge the monetary case, dinehem din. It counts. Ela shenikra'im beddin hatsuf. Really, you're not supposed to have two judges. Really, you're supposed to have three judges, he holds. But it counts. If you have two judges, it counts. But it's called the beddin hatsuf. It's called an arrogant beddin. V'Rabbi Abu amar ledevrei hakol in dinehem din. According to Rabbi Abu, he holds, no, that if you only have two judges, you need three, and therefore the judgment is nothing. So we have a machloket. Are two judges that judge the case, is it considered a judgment or not? Now how in the world does this get to a karet? So the way it gets to a karet is like this. Let's say you have two judges that judge the case. Okay? And we hold en din ehem din. We hold the judgment is not a judgment. Shmuel holds the judgment is a judgment. So let's see, you have a zaken that argued on the Sanhedrin in this case over here. Right? How does it become a zaken mamre? So, like this. If the judgment is not a judgment, that means the guy paid money, the money that he paid in that court, he didn't have to pay it. So the one that received the money is holding money that of gezel. Because the ruling is not a ruling if there's only two judges according to some opinions, yes? This guy went now with this money and he went and was mekadesh a lady. Hareh at mekadesh a lady with this kesef. Now, that's being mekadesh begezin. And therefore, according to that opinion, he's not married. Whereas if you hold the judgment is a judgment, so the money belongs to him and therefore the kedushin is a kedushin. So if we hold, let's say it is a judgment, so this guy is considered married. By the zaken mamre saying it's not a judgment, he's going to say the guy's not married, the lady's not married, and therefore he's going to matira to go with somebody else, which would be eshet ish, which would be isur karet. Got the hashbon? So that's how money can turn into din nefashot, what can turn into karet. Once you get the kiddushin factor, then I can answer a lot of our issues over here. Dinei nefashot, when it comes to dinei nefashot, b'fuktat Rabbi v'Rabbanan, detanya Rabbi Yomer, v'natata nefesh tachat nefesh. This is talking about a case over here. Mitkaven naharog ze v'harag ze. You intended to kill A and you ended up killing B. So the din is, what does it say? V'natata nefesh tachat nefesh. You have to, the guy has to pay. What does he have to pay? Nefesh for nefesh. The Gemara says mamon, means money. Since you didn't have kavanah to kill the guy, you only have to compensate the inheritors of the guy money. How much would this guy that you killed be sold in the marketplace? Ata omer mamon. You say it's monetary or eno ela nefesh mamash. The pasuk says nefesh ta nefesh. Maybe it's actually he has to pay with his life. So it says ne'ema netina lemata. The ne'ema netina lemata. It says the word netina in the pasuk before this, or in the parasha before this. It's talking about a case over there where a guy punched a lady. She was pregnant, and the baby came out, and the baby's died. So it says over there v'natan b'flilim. And over there, when a benatam b'flilim is what you pay. Money. So therefore, v'neiman nitinah lemata. It says by us, v'natatan nefesh tahat nefesh. Ma le'alam mamon, afkan mamon. Just like over there by the case of when he killed the babies, when he punched a pregnant lady, he has to pay money. And it says the word v'natan. So there when it says v'natan, also means he has to pay money. Oh, so therefore, hakamim. So that's the opinion of who? That's the B. Hakamim argue. Hakamim say no. Nefesh tahat nefesh. It's nefesh mamash. You killed the guy. Nitkaven la'rogze v'aragze. Nefesh ta'alim, you kill the guy. So you have a mahloket over here. Do you pay or you don't pay? Oh, so now let's say a case over here where if you're going to hold that you have to pay, I'm sorry, if you're going to hold that he dies, so you don't have to pay. So if you hold like the rabbis, which is Sanhedrin, would like the rabbis. So therefore, you don't have to pay. The guy who killed dies. Let's say the victim's family went and took the money. So that money is considered gezel because you don't have to pay. And now they went. And it was Mekadesh a lady with that money. So since the money is gezel, that lady is not considered Mekudeshet. Okay? Good. However, if you're going to hold that what? That you have to pay, so therefore the money that you took is rightfully so, and therefore the lady is going to be indeed mekudeshet. So if the zaken mamre ruled against the Sanhedrin, let's say the Sanhedrin ruled that what? That you do have to pay. And therefore the lady really is mekudeshet. And the Sanhedrin, he ruled no. And therefore he's going to matir a married lady to go with somebody else. That's a karet case. Gemara says, "Dine makot." What's the case of makot? Beftutad Rabbi Ishmael v'Rabbanan. Detnan makot b'shlosha. Meshum Rabbi Ishmael amru be'asim u'shlosha. Okay, we have a machloket. How to enforce makot? How many judges do you need to deliver makot? So, the first opinion says what? Makot b'shlosha. You need three. That's what the rabbis say. Three judges is enough. And Rabbi Ishmael holds what? How many judges you need to inflict makot? You need 23 judges. So according to Rabbi Ishmael, let's talk about this way. According to Rabbi Ishmael, a betin of three that caused somebody to get malkut is shelo kedin. They did it wrong. And therefore they're guilty for causing affliction to somebody unlawfully. And therefore the betin has to pay that guy money. Because they had no right to give him malkut. And therefore, if the victim that got the malkut grabbed the money from the beddin, he grabbed legally, because it's his money. And continue the story. What did he do after that? He went and got married. When he got married, the kiddushin is going to be a kiddushin. No, the kiddushin is hal. The kiddushin is good because it's his money. However, according to Hachamim, that say what? That say... Right, the Hakamim say three judges is enough, so the money that he took is illegal, and therefore the kiddushin that he did is not good. So therefore, this machloket could lead to karet. Im amulkei yekadesh isha bevavot shetafas ben hadayanim. Right, if the guy's going to take the money that he got from the judges and the Kadesh lady, if the Zakim Mamre is going to rule against the Sanhedrin is going to hold could be married. And he's going to hold not married, so if the Matira lady who's a Eshet Ish. So I could lead the Karet in the case of Makot. Amazing. Okay, Ben Nega La Nega. Ben Nega'i Adam, Nega'i Batim, Nega'i Bagadim. Okay, how could Nega'im come to Karet? So it says Nega'i Adam, when it comes to the Nega'im of an Adam, that's on the person. We have a Mishnah in Masechet Nega'im. Im Baheret Kadam La Se'ara Lavan. In Baheret, in Sarat, you have a blotch, a Baheret, that's the spot.
and then you have a white hair that grows in the spot. So it says, if the spot came first and then a white hair grew into it, so then already the deen is tameh. However, im se'al laban kadam la baheret, but if the white hair grew first and then the baheret came in, tahor. That's a deen. What came first? Safek tameh. You have a safek, what came first? Tameh. Rabbi Yoshua Omer keha. Rabbi Yoshua says keha. It's considered light. What is it, light? So Gemara says, my keha, amarava keha tahor. Which means it's considered tahor. Which means he holds all these cases over here, Rabbi Yoshua, that it has a deen of that if you have a safek, if the hair came first, Rabbanan say tameh, Rabbi Yoshua says keha. It's like a light sara'at. A light sara'at is tahor. Oh, so now we understand we have keret over here. Let's say, according to this, the zaken ruled like Rabbi Yoshua. And he said what? It's tahor. So he allows this guy now to go into the Beit HaMikdash. Because he holds you're not a sara'at. He's not a mitzorah. That's yisur karet according to the rabbis. Because the rabbis hold what? No. Safek is tameh. Therefore, going into the Beit HaMikdash, you have a keret on you. So say, I have keret, but it's a rat. Good? Mm-hmm. Next case. Nik'e batim befruktad Rabbi El-Azhar b'Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbanan. Detnan, Rabbi El-Azhar b'Rabbi Shimon, we learned this once before. On the tzarat of the house. Le'olam en habayit tameh ad shira'e k'shne girisim al shte abanim. Remember we learned? Mm-hmm. According to this guy on the corner. According to this rabbi, the sarat that's on the corner, where it's one sarat over here and one sarat there, and it's connected together on the size of two girisim, two walls exactly. On two walls in the corner, orko keshne girisim. The size of it has to be, the length is two girisim, and the width of it has to be the size of a giris. Okay, that's the shita of who? That's the B Shimon. Okay, meaning if you found it all on one wall, tahor. Curtain dark, and how does he know this? Because was my time, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. What's the reason Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon? Ketiv kir, uktiv kirot. One pasuk says wall, one pasuk says kirot, walls. Ezu kir, shu kirot. Give me a wall, that's walls. Have you missed a kin and savit? It's the intersection. Oh, so now, how do you have a karet in this case over here? So therefore, the Sanedrin ruled like the Hakamim, by the way. That no matter where the tzara'at is, it's considered tzara'at on the walls. There's a kid mamre ruled like Rabbi Elazar, it said only in the corner. Okay? Now, guy walked into the house. Rabbi Elazar holds tahor because it's not in the corner. It's only on one wall, so it's tahor. Zakim mamre ruled like him. But that's against the rabbis. The rabbis say anywhere you're on one wall, it's tameh. Then after the guy walked into that house, he walked to the Beit HaMikdash. So according to the rabbis, he's tameh. Rabbi the Zakim Amri said, no, he's okay. And he walked into the Beit HaMikdash with Tumah, that's karet. Nika'i Begadim, okay, let's go to Begadim now. How do you have Nika'i Begadim? Bifuktad Rabbi Natan bin Avtulmus bin Abbanan. Detanya Rabbi Natan bin Avtulmus Omer, Minayin lefriha bebegadim shi teora. Okay, new story. You have tzara'at on the Begadim. How do you know that if the tzara'at spreads through the whole Begad, that the Beged is Tahor? The Gemara says, Ne'emra karachat v'gabachat be'adam. It says the words karachat and gabachat by Nega'i Adam. Ve'ne'emra karachat v'gabachat be'gadim. And it says these words also by Nega'i Begadim. Ma l'adam parach b'kulo tahor, afkan parach b'kulo tahor. Just like by Adam we know the law, that if the tzara'at went across his whole body, kulo afach lavan tahoru. So just like by Nigei Adam, if it goes in the whole body, Tahor, so too Nigei Begadim, if the thing goes in the whole body, it's going to be Tahor. Whose opinion is that, by the way? That is the opinion of Rabbi Natan ben Abtulmus. However, the Hakamim say no. Only by Adam, where it spreads over his whole body, he's Tahor. By Begadim, if it spreads over the whole body, or the whole Beged, still Tameh. Oh, so how do you have the Mahlokot over here? So if, let's say, a guy went into the Beit HaMikdash, you had the whole Beged became filled with the tzara'at. According to the Rabbanan, if that guy went into the Beit HaMikdash, he's tameh. Whereas according to Rabbi Natan, if he went into the Beit HaMikdash, he's tahor. The Zakim Mamre ruled like Rabbi Natan.
And therefore allowed to go to the Beit HaMikdash. Whereas according to the Hakamim, going to the Beit HaMikdash is Tameh, because the Beggar is Tameh. That's Yisukareh, going to the Beit HaMikdash, but Tumah. Baruch Adonai Olam, Amen.